throw balls far. You want good words? Data language.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Kauf with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP!
Good Thursday morning out there, Western Oklahoma. Welcome to The Skinny on Sports right here on 98.1 FM, the sports animal. Glad to have you along for the next hour. It's a pretty big day on these airwaves, Jared.
Is it?
The Hump Man is exiting stage left.
That's today.
They had a pretty cool, I'm sure, pretty cool deal last night, playing a bunch of the old tapes. They did podcast it, so that may be what I kind of...
Oh, that'd be a good listen.
Let me go back to listen to. But that's there's an Oklahoman article about basically the history of this radio station.
Yeah.
And how it came to be. And Greg Humphreys is a big part of this. But it's going to be a cool day, I think. I know he finishes up his show at noon. And then Jim has some kind of doctor's visit. So Craig's actual last segment is actually going to be on Jim's show.
Okay.
Since Jim can't make time to be able to get there because of other stuff. So he's going to come on. It's going to be a pretty cool day, I think. College football, we'll wrap up signing day from yesterday. Player rankings, team rankings. How did OU do? How did OSU do? And each year you kind of see it feels like a different, I don't know, third-tier school, second-tier, third-tier. It's like there's a couple of different ones that do better than others each year.
Yeah.
Is that just because they raise the money to do so? Or is it the organization as far as the NIL? Getting everybody on the right page, moving in the same direction, and then that being the reason why you see the fruits of all that labor. Or is it both? Or is it all those things coming together at once?
Or it could just be good old-fashioned recruiting. Who knows?
Yeah, okay.
A little bit of that, too.
Hard to believe that with some of the schools that just pop up every now and again. Because it's never the same ones. I mean, maybe it is, though.
Well, the NIL makes the recruiting obviously easier. What I'm saying is the old-fashioned recruiting is a part of it. And NIL is a big part of it. You got a coach going into a home, and I'm sure there's been in the past, but before NIL, there's been a lot of coaches that goes into homes and they're like, man, this is a great guy, great coach. I'd love to go play for him. Buddy coaches at
Missouri
or Vanderbilt. I'm getting offers from other guys. Well, now the NIL is kind of helping them out there.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, so that's why I say old-fashioned recruiting is still a part of it, but the NIL is a big part of it. Big part of it.
Yeah. Sooner fans quit going on Reginald Green's Google and leaving bad reviews for his insurance business.
What?
It's Caden Green's dad.
I hadn't heard this.
Quit doing that.
And they're crazy.
And by the way, Caden Green, quit acting like Brent Venables lied to you and you didn't go to Missouri for the money. Come on, man. It's a two-way street. This reminds me so. This is like the Kevin Durant breakup, except for on a much smaller scale.
Yeah.
Let's move on.
Bunch of losers in this situation.
Let's move on to November 9th, and then we'll see who gets the last laugh, Missouri or Oklahoma.
Yep.
Thunder tonight, Clippers coming to town. It's Thunder 2.0 reunion. You know, you got the young Thunder, then the 2.0, when we got everybody there, the different guys, and now they all get reunioned back into Paycom Center. I have a question. Who gets the statue as of right now? If the new arena was being built, whose statue goes out front? And then also have the Clippers.
Between the two,
I'm talking about just
superstars or just who
to the Thunder
overall.
The Thunder franchise to right now.
Gotcha.
Who gets the statue? I do think it's a two-person race. No doubt about it.
Well, I got one person.
Well, to me, there's only two that can be considered right now.
Well, I got one.
Okay.
Person that's been true to the Thunder since day one.
Oh, boy. It's not going to be a player, is it?
He wears a jersey.
Oh, no. It's going to be the big fat guy in the stands.
No.
Oh, it's not?
No. He's not in the – well, sometimes he's in the stands. Sometimes he's above the stands.
Rumble.
Sometimes
I'll give
he's
you a break.
Hitting a drum in the middle of the court.
This is officially copping out of the answer. Also, last night, Oklahoma falls for the first time to UNC. 81-69. Was the moment too big early on, and then the Sooners couldn't dig out of the hole? Mm-hmm. Are there good signs, though, even in the loss? And I think one guy is going to end up saving Porter Moser's job. 225-9698 is the phone or the text line. That is 225-9698. Give us a call, shoot us a text. We can talk about any of those things or whatever else might be on your mind. Feel free to chime right in at 225-9698. If you're going to be outside the listening area, a couple ways to stay in touch with the show. Log on to KADSAM.com or download the app. The app's got it all. It's got radio. It's got the Penny News. Big Elk and Paragon TV. All of those things are available right there in the app. Brand new edition of the Penny News. Go pick it up right now. It's out there at your liege. And then also, of course, the Skinny on Sports podcast. You can see that, you can hear that and find that anywhere where podcasts drop. How are you today, Jared?
Very well. Very well. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing wonderful. Just looking forward to the Christmas weekend.
Looking forward to it, are you? I'm sure you've said, but how many Christmases are you participating in?
Two this weekend, one coming up next Friday, a week from Friday.
Wow. And presents at all of them?
Dirty Santa or whatever.
Food at all of them. Food that's at the most all important of them. Thing. Yeah.
Yeah, it'll be fun.
Well, good.
Saturday night, Sunday afternoon, and then the next Friday night.
We're doing three. Friday night, Saturday afternoon, and then, of course, Christmas morning.
Very good.
Yeah.
Very, so very good.
It's going to be a long weekend that's going to fly by. But always a fun time of year. And my wife thinks I'm a Grinch when it comes to Christmas. I'm not. I think I've said this before. I get Grinchy when the true meaning of Christmas is kind of lost in the shuffle every single year. So
it's just the way it is now.
I know.
You really think the society's going to let you talk about Jesus instead of Santa? Come on.
That's true.
Society won't let you talk about Jesus, period.
We're lucky we can talk about Santa. Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be going away here quick.
Pretty much. You're fat shaming a guy. Can't do that.
Yeah. Fat shaming and old shaming.
Yeah.
All right, so last night, Oklahoma loses the first game of the season to North Carolina. 81-69. It was a game that Oklahoma, you probably felt better than you should at halftime, down 8 when the Sooners were 1-for-10 from 3. Yeah. And it committed 10 turnovers, ended up with a season high 18. Second half, missed free throws. There was a back-to-back. It was Uzan and I can't remember, maybe Hughley, back-to-back, missing both missed free throws on a couple of trips as Oklahoma was trying to get back in the game. They did trim it to 73-67 with under 4 timeout.
Yeah, it was under 2, actually.
Yeah.
Around under 2 minutes.
So,
but yeah.
But Oklahoma loses 81-69. Just your thoughts on what you saw.
Well, you can't turn the ball over like they did. I forgot the stat. That was what was
18 turnovers.
Yeah, you can't do that against a team like North Carolina. And they looked like they were nervous and tight when they came out. Both teams kind of did. Both it took them almost 2 minutes to make a shot to put a point on a board. But you just can't have a start like that. But I do give them credit, like you said, for making it a ball game. But that just sound. It just felt like they're climbing a mountain that they on an escalator. They couldn't get to the top. But I mean, now here comes the coach speak from the podium after the game. I would say that's a game you want to be in if you want to test your mettle and see where you're at. We kind of said that yesterday. We're about to figure out what this team is about, and you know you want to be in that environment against a team like that in those situations because that might pay off later in the year. when, say, they're the committee send them as a 4 or 5 seed and you're playing the number one seed in their backyard, which is kind of what happened last night playing North Carolina and Charlotte. So, I mean, listen, they weren't going to win them all, but I do like how they were able to fight. But, you, again, can't turn the ball over like that. And I think the flaw is on this team, if they're not hitting threes consistently, they're very beatable. So we'll put it behind them and move on. But that's, again, a game they want to be in, a game anybody wants to be in. You don't want to play the Monmouths and the you know, the Cupcakes all preseason and then get slaughtered in a tough Big 12 outlet or slate. So I don't even know if they had a choice to be in it since they signed the deal.
Yeah, the jump man.
The jump man. But you want to be in that game. My point is, you want to be in that game. You want to be in that environment and see how you are. And then, you know, you want to see flaws too if you're a coach. Go, okay, guys, this is what we got to work on. If we want to compete in the Big 12, we got to do this better. We got to do that better. We can't turn the ball over. I mean, that goes for any basketball game at any level. So, but yeah, disappointing they didn't win, but it's not a end of the world. You know, you're a football school when I had buddies texting me saying, "I'm done with this team after this loss." I'm like, dude, it's one loss. It's a basketball season. There are plenty more.
Oh, you
teams.
Fans are just being little.
I know. I'm like, come on.
You know what happened to OU fans? As much as they don't want to admit this, Lincoln Riley broke them. Lincoln Riley broke OU fans.
Yeah.
Completely broke them. Look at them on right now online, whining about some freshman kid that's going to Missouri, whining about losing to North Carolina. Guess what? No OU team's ever beat North Carolina. That includes a number one seed in the NCAA tournament and the Blake Griffin's last team.
Right.
Better than this one. Yeah, Lincoln Riley broke OU fan. Just snapped them in half. Completely took their manhood away from them.
Well, my point is that it's when football season, you lose one game, they think season's over. There's no way to recover from this. And those, I got a couple texts, not from everybody, but from like one guy in particular. And I didn't respond. I'm thinking, come on.
I know. But it's still game. But it's just getting worse and worse, the whininess of OU fan.
One game. Let it go. It's one game. And maybe this is a new me trying to take a positive out of a negative. Positive stuff was, again, you want to be in that game. You want to get exposed so you can go back to the drawing board and see what can we work on here.
I'm not sure how good North Carolina is. It's not some sort of vintage North Carolina team. Now, does that mean they can't make a run in the tournament? No, because college basketball isn't what it once was. But, you know, this isn't the Tyler Hansbrough national title team that ran roughshod over everybody. This isn't, you know, some of those other Carolina teams.
But I did say this yesterday, and I will to give them credit for this. They were more battle-tested than OU was.
Oh, for sure.
They had
– Well, they're North Carolina.
Yeah, they seek that competition, and you know, they played a tough non-con schedule so far, including with OU being on that schedule. But going into that game, I felt like they – that was my thing, too. It kind of is like, wow, they're more battle-tested. And
they weren't going to lose three in a row either.
No.
Here's the deal. I thought they did a good job defensively on Baycott. Baycott's as good as a post player as there is. Held him to 14 points and 8 rebounds. That's not a terrible night. But as Sam said on the text line, Oklahoma had zero post presence on offense. Godwin and Hughley 0 for 4. They just when the shots weren't falling in the first half from deep, they had no answer to try to stem the tide by being able to throw it down. But here's the thing. That's not – who does? You know, I mean, everybody wants, get a big guy. Where are they? Yeah. They don't exist, almost. Even in the NBA game. I mean, I guess if you go find Jokic from Serbia and bring him in, but I understand the point. You need to be able to generate points in the paint, points at the rim. They got to
protect the rim.
They got to the free throw line.
Yeah.
But they weren't very good at it. You know, 16 of 24, that leaves a lot to be – you know, you miss 8 free throws, you turn it over 18 times, and you go 1 for 10 from 3 in the first half, you're not beating North Carolina.
No. I mean, it was amazing. They were down 6, like we mentioned.
But I'm going to say there's a huge positive here, and that is OU played about their C game.
Yeah.
And we're right there with 4 minutes to go.
Right.
We're right in the game. And so, you know, if you look at this like an NCAA tournament game in the second weekend, these are the way these games go, you know, and Oklahoma can't afford that start. McCollum, his numbers look better than he played because he did a lot of his damage in that comeback late. He was pretty bad at first. I will say this, the one thing that we saw last night, and I think this is going to end up being maybe the seminal player in the Porter Moja era, I think Otega Owe not being in the portal after last year and hanging around is going to save Porter Moser's job at Oklahoma. That dude is a budding star, an NBA type dude.
You hear that? They mentioned that. They mentioned about, you know, there is a chance for him to leave, and you know, there always is for everybody. I guess he has a cousin or a brother that's in the NFL that told him, no, stick it out.
Yeah, the guy that plays for
Ravens?
The Ravens. Yeah.
He told him,
I think he was at Penn State. I think he got drafted from Penn State.
He told him, stay. No, stick it out. Develop your game there. And that you're right. That shows a lot when a player is putting 100% faith into their coach. So I didn't have a great season last year. I know you can develop me into a better player. My game can get better under your tutelage. So far, so good. 11 games in. So, yeah, you're right. Hopefully that's a lesson learned from other players.
Yeah.
It's easy to go where you think the grass is greener. But put the work in. And he has done that.
Yeah, and so I think at the end of the day, if Carolina is a Sweet 16, Elite Eight, Final Four-ish team, Oklahoma doesn't play very well and is right there with them for a majority of that, you know, a chance to win down the stretch in a game they didn't play very well. I think that's there's kind of the silver lining.
In a weird way, it was a good thing that this thing was on national television so everybody can see that, you know, and who knows? I mean, I'm thinking top of my head ACC. When you think ACC, who's going to compete in it? Duke and Carolina and NC State?
There's always somebody.
Wake Forest? I don't know who they are this year. I did watch the ending of that Duke-Baylor game. Duke went on that run to put Baylor away. That was a good win for Duke, who's kind of had their ups and downs this year, but against a top 10 Baylor team. Wasn't a good night for the Big 12 last night against the ACC, that's for sure.
No, when you look at the ranked teams, Clemson, Virginia, North Carolina, and Duke are the ranked teams in the ACC right now.
Yeah, forget about Virginia. Yeah.
So, Thunder tonight.
Final thought. OU had a chance to get in the top five with a win last night.
Yeah.
With UConn losing. I think they could have jumped to five. But they're still a good team.
Yeah, because Marquette lost. Excuse me, Marquette lost the night before.
Right.
At six.
Right. They're still a good team. They just, they just lost to a better team. Simply put, and we'll see. Now they got a couple of layups before conference play starts. We'll see if they can fix those mistakes and move on.
Yeah, well, probably they ought to be able to the next two games because they play nobody.
You would think so.
Thunder Clips tonight. We got the Thunder 2.0 reunion with Russ. I guess James Harden wasn't necessarily on that team, but they played together later on. Paul George, see if he plays. He didn't play last night. It said illness. You wonder if that's just because it's a back-to-back down in Dallas and then up in Oklahoma City tonight. It's just kind of one of those nostalgic moments for a young Thunder team, seeing Russ and Harden on the same team back inside Paycom Center with Paul George there as well. Man, the Clippers, after really slow start once Harden got there, they sure feel like they've picked it up and they've figured this thing out. That's now 9 straight after a win last night. You look up and all of a sudden they're 17-10. Right there in the third, fourth, fifth spot in the West after being well below 500. What do you contribute the Clippers resurgence to?
Honestly, I don't know. Without watching a lot of them, I would hope it's because Harden is accepting a role.
I think it's more Russell having to accept the role.
He kind of accepted that role last year too when he got there.
Off the bench,
coming off the bench and contributing in that matter. So I bet you that's a big part of it, absolutely. And when you got names like Paul George and even Russ, when he plays controlled and looks like he's trying to extend his career by accepting that role, he can be a good player. Of course, Harden's always going to be a dangerous player on any given night. My question is, how come nobody's talking about him? Are they just waiting for it to fall apart? Are they waiting for some locker room turmoil between Harden and insert name and for this thing to break apart, like it kind of history has shown us with Harden wherever he goes? I don't know. But on paper, this should be a good team, and right now it is.
Yeah, I don't really think it has anything to do with Russell Westbrook or James Harden whatsoever.
Kawhi's actually
playing. Kawhi's playing.
He's playing.
It's that simple. Yep. Kawhi Leonard is playing.
And that's another reason why no one's really talking about him. Like, hey, when's he going to go on his sabbatical here and just stop playing for a few games and then they're in a hole and then they lose, bow out in the first round?
Maybe the changes to the rules as far as being able to make those postseason awards or postseason teams have changed his mind.
Yeah.
Because it obviously forces them to play way more games. And it's that simple. Kawhi Leonard is still a top five player at least in this league. And when he's out there playing night after night, the Clippers are obviously going to be better. You know, last night had 30. He gets 30 every time he plays. And also is a great defender. I think that's the – when you think of Harden and you put him on a team, you immediately kind of –
kind of look, who's going to clash with him on this team?
Right? You think they can't guard nobody.
Right.
He's not playing deep. Yeah. Guess what? That's not the case with this one. This team is a phenomenal defensive team because Kawhi Leonard and Paul George especially are willing and able locking down perimeter defenders, always have been. And I think if you kind of start looking back through this 9-game winning streak, you see that the number on the left can be pretty high at times, but those numbers on the right, you know, you hold – the Nuggets to 102, Jazz 103, 99 for the Kings. That's an amazing number considering how the Kings play. Mm-hmm. The Warriors 113, 112. You know, that's kind of average. Last night, the Mavs. And even the Pacers, 127 looks like a ton. But they've been routinely putting up 140 just the way they play. And it's a, you know, and you win the game by 25, even giving up 127. So I think when it comes down to it, the Clippers can play offensive games in the regular season the way it has to be played every now and then on a certain night, but also the one thing that they're always going to be able to hang their hat on, especially when the playoffs come around, the game slows down, is they can guard you. Even with Harden out on the floor, they can guard you big time. And so that's where I think this Clippers team, that they figured out the rotation, figured out the chemistry. I know you can say what you want to say about why, but Russ has accepted that role and isn't causing waves to coming off the bench and kind of being him and Norman Powell kind of being the bench mob type guys. You know, they lost those six straight when they made the trade, and now they put together a really nice stretch of basketball, including 9 out of the last 10. This is a formidable team coming into Oklahoma City tonight. Who gets the – I know you're going to say Rumble.
He's the only one who hasn't left us.
Rumble ain't getting the statue.
Hasn't been traded away.
Right now. Now, this all changes in the next – because what are we, 4 years, 5 years away from the arena opening?
By the way, you see where they – it looks like it's going to go right across the street. Where
that's
the
Myriad. They're going to knock –
they're going to knock that down. And
yes. So, I mean, that it can change between now and then if they win a title, and SGA would be the answer. But right now, who gets their statue out front of that arena?
Well, the everyone's going to say Russ, right? I mean, everyone's going to go there first because he stuck around. He showed dedication. He won an MVP here. He kept it afloat after Durant left for as long as he could. That's going to be the answer. And one on the text line, Nick Collison. I don't know.
I got that one sent to my phone, too.
He got his number retired, and he's a heck of a nice guy. Does that deserve a statue?
No.
But no. Then, of course, there's going to be the argument for Durant. I mean, he was the one that was the first superstar of this organization, got him to the finals. Well, so was Russ. Russ was on that team. But if we're going to go that route, so was Harden. But I guess my vote would be Russell because of the situation, he was a MVP as a Thunder, so was Durant, but he didn't leave the Thunder like Durant did. He didn't about face on the franchise that drafted him. He graciously left. So that's my answer. You're gonna say Durant, aren't you?
I mean, to me,
I will say this. I think they should retire Durant's number. I do think that. I've come around on that.
I mean, it's what did one do that the other didn't? Nothing, really. Nothing.
Yeah.
And in my mind, when you think about those Thunder teams back then, you think about Durant and not Westbrook.
Of course.
Durant first, I guess you'd say. You know what maybe it ought to be? Maybe it ought to be that iconic photo or that iconic shot. It wasn't really a photo. It was just a camera shot down in Miami at the end of Game 5 with all three of those guys with their arms, you know, like hugging each other almost on the bench.
Well,
before the game ended.
I think you're on to something. Why not a statue of both Kevin and Russell?
It's hard to put Harden in there because he just wasn't here very long. Nah. He didn't go through the prime.
No.
And really, we never got to see the prime of Durant Westbrook. They were still so young that even though they played those next few years, we still never got to see the prime years of Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook with the Thunder.
No.
We didn't.
No.
So.
How about Presti?
Well, I was going to say, and at the end of the day, it's going to be Presti.
Yeah.
And so if it's Presti, why can't it just be Rumble and you can
Presti,
be right?
Presti, high five and Rumble.
Hopefully the answer becomes a lot more clear and a lot more easy in the next couple of years that it can just be Shea because they will have done something that those other teams didn't, and that's win a title.
Yeah.
Still years is what I'm saying.
Yeah, so maybe this is
Or
not
maybe it's Chet and we don't even know it yet.
Yeah. What if they win a title before the new arena even goes
that's
up?
That's what I mean.
Yeah. And there's your answer.
I think most Thunder fans would say Westbrook.
How about this? How about a statue of the fans have stuck around this long and have went through the rebuild?
It's hard to say that when they had the lowest attendance.
It wouldn't be a big statue.
That one guy?
That one guy we just talked about.
What's it, Mr. Thunder, the big fat guy?
Wasn't there a guy, like Mr. Bricktown or something? He always had like that brick hat. I can't remember his name.
Cape and no shirt. That's what I'm talking about. Hanging out here on a Thursday. Man, is the weather, I mean, like this morning,
yeah,
that felt like a spring day.
Feels like it's supposed to rain.
Some fog.
Still be in the upper 50s.
60.
Yeah. Kind of feels like
next next 3 days, 60s. Maybe even 4 days. Clear through Sunday. Then Monday, Christmas Day, sunny but cooler. Kind of down in the high 40s up maybe to 50. I mean, thunderstorm Saturday. Chances
really?
Of thunderstorms on Saturday, yeah. It's crazy. I mean, it's foggy because we're just not used to having this moisture with the warmth at this time of year.
No, we're not.
But, you know, my point is it's not beginning to look a lot like Christmas. It's beginning to look a lot like Easter.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, whatever. I mean, this must be
I played golf on Christmas Eve before.
I have actually on New Year's Eve. I've done that.
Matter of fact, there was one year where we played golf Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, all of it. It's a possibility.
Why not?
Christmas Day may be a little chilly. Little chilly. All right, signing day. National Letter of Intent signing day. It was kind of a weird day to me yesterday, Jared, because in-state, I mean, there was one small bobble. And all that was Taylor Tatum having a flat tire, fixing it himself, and then making it to his place in Longview. And as soon as he was a little bit late, it was, oh, he's not signing until February. Oh, no. Lincoln Riley's back in the mix. Da, da, da. No, he just changed his tire, got there, and then signed. So there was like maybe a 15-minute anxiety attack by the weak OU fans that Lincoln Riley broke, like I mentioned earlier. Good gosh. But it was weird because it was a super quiet day in this state.
It was.
But it wasn't that way across the country. Can you imagine if you...
I mean, a complete 180 from, last year?
Yeah, the Peyton Bowen madness.
Peyton Bowen situation.
So that was going on at other places, just not here. It, can you imagine being an Ohio State fan last night? So Jeremiah Smith, the number one player on ESPN's list, wide receiver, been committed forever. And then here in the last 5 or 6 months down the stretch, lots of different rumors. He had a signing ceremony a la kind of Peyton Bowen a year ago. And you actually see him, like there was so much conspiracy because he signed at like 2 or 3 in the afternoon, didn't send his letter in until like 10 at night. So there was like people looking like, did he even get his pen to paper? Like, was he just faking it? You know, there was, what I'm telling you is it had been nuts to be an Ohio State fan yesterday, losing a couple of guys, but keeping the number one player.
Why did he wait? Did he?
I don't know.
To mess with the fans?
Or wait on the giant bag that didn't come?
Yeah.
There was a lot of, he's a Florida kid, and there was a lot of Miami smoke with him. Miami did a heck of a job yesterday. Even one of the OU recruits, Jaden Jackson, the IMG kid, along with David Stone, the defensive lineman. I saw him reference the bag that came overnight from Miami, at, like the last minute bag. And he was like, no, I'm a Sooner. It's just like, whoa. It's amazing how honest some of these guys are about what's happening. But
they're saying stuff we already know. We knew there's going to be these last minute night before.
Feels like Oregon's really good at that.
Oh, yeah. Wonder why. Bag full of shoes probably show up at their door. I wonder if kids – I think sometimes kids value trending on social media. It's like, hey, you know, if I hold out, I'll start to see my name trend, whether that be good or bad.
So if you kind of look at
– then I'll drop a rap video. Go ahead.
The winners and losers from yesterday, Miami and Oregon, big-time winners. Auburn was a big winner.
They jumped up, didn't they?
Yeah, they ended up with Perry Thompson, a receiver. They'd already flipped Cam Coleman from A&M, who was one of the top, I think he's number 6 overall on the ESPN list. Tech. So Tech is the only Big 12 school in the top 25. We'll talk about the Big 12. Ouch. Turns out losing Oklahoma and Texas put them way down a list. And then Nebraska. I mentioned them yesterday. We already knew that Dylan Raiola was going to make his way. Another guy was Grant Bricks that the Sooners were hot and heavy after on the offensive line. Came down to Oklahoma.
Yeah, yeah.
Nebraska and Kansas State, and Bricks goes with Nebraska. He's from Iowa, big kid that a lot of people liked. And so they were kind of –
he looks like that old-fashioned Nebraska
no doubt.
Lineman, doesn't he?
No doubt. So those are kind of the winners, the losers. A&M, Florida had a horrible day. They did keep a hold of the quarterback, DJ Lagway, but they lost – Jarrett Gibson to Texas. They lost Xavier Filsoemi, whatever that is, to Texas. And they lost another guy, Wardell Mitchell, to Texas. Or Wardell Mack, not just yesterday, but then yesterday Amaris Williams flipped. Jamonte Waller flipped. So they had a rough, rough day, Florida did, there at the end. Still some intrigue. Did you see that Jordan Seaton? He's the guy that committed to Colorado. Apparently, I mean, he's playing the game the way that the game needs to be played, because he's waiting on a bigger bag from either Oregon or Maryland and letting Colorado kind of swing in the wind, which is fine with me. It's the way it is, right? So that was kind of some highlights. Question on the text line, will Oklahoma pursue Dominic McKinley and Terry Bussey? Dominic McKinley, absolutely. They're still trying to make their way into that. It looks like Texas and LSU, Oklahoma, A&M. He committed to A&M, but he did not sign. He's not going to sign until February. He's a defensive tackle from down in Texas. So that's another one to maybe keep your eye on. Terry Bussey, I think that ship has sailed for Oklahoma. They're not in it. But he's another guy that didn't sign. Highlights of the class for OU. You've got, obviously, David Stone, composite number 9. Player on the 247 composite. So you're talking top 10 defensive lineman, 5-star, according to everybody. Taylor Tatum, some people's number one running back. I think he was like 37th, if I remember right, from yesterday on the composite. And then also Zion Kearney, your wide receiver, was top 75 in the composite. OU number 9, composite rankings. As high as maybe number 6 in Rivals.
I think ESPN jumped them to 7.
Yeah, there's Florida moving down.
They were at 8, a solid 8 forever, and then they jumped up to 7, I think, because of Florida.
Yeah, Florida going down.
And Texas jumped up, too. So a couple pretty good recruiting classes for a couple teams joining the SEC.
Here's what's crazy. OU number 9 in the 247 composite, number 5 in the SEC.
Right?
I mean, that's the way it goes. Oklahoma State-wise, it's a quiet day there as well. I think everybody they signed was a 3-star, literally. No 2s, no 4s. Everybody was a 3-star for all that they got signed. But there was the promo right before we got on the air. I wonder how much this is by design. Like I said, you shouldn't be able to recruit in the 50s year after year after year and play in the 20s.
But they're doing it.
But they're doing it. And so is that – what is the reason? Are they literally targeting certain kids and they couldn't care less? They're looking for something that they see and they don't care what the stars are. Has Mike Gundy and staff decided through maybe getting burned in the past on some higher-rated kids – that, you know what, they're not worth our time. If they're just going to burn us in the end, why even start? We'll look for our guy. You know what I'm saying? Or is it just lack of effort? Or is it arrogance on Mike Gundy's part to go, watch this, I'm smarter than you?
And he's shown that before.
And listen.
And it's worked before.
It's hard to go against... It's hard to go against that. If they have to fit their culture, I mean, the results are the results. Mm-hmm. But in that process or in that belief, the way that they're recruiting, have they put a ceiling on what they can be?
Ben, I keep going, and I know you can't say 2011 without irking some OSU fans, but I always wonder, you know, about 2011 or a couple years ago, if they had consistent top 15, let's go there, top 15 recruiting classes, would that been enough to put them over the top? Does that make sense?
Can they?
That's the question. Can they? And is there stubbornness to it? Is there arrogance to it? I don't know. But you get a bunch of 3-star guys, and they've proven that they, and Gundy and whoever his staff is, he knows how to find a coach that's going to develop players. They've proven that they can develop players. So you get a bunch of 3-star guys like, hey, maybe that's his pitch. Just come here. I know you're a 3-star guy. You can come play at this D1 level, and I can make you a 4-star. And in the rare case, I can make you a star. I can make you an NFL guy. So come, this is where you can develop. I've proven I've done it. Come do it here again. Come be that next guy, that next budding star. But the risk is you get a 3-star guy, they don't pan out. So he has a knack for finding those 3-star guys that fit their culture, bringing them in, and developing them into 4-star guys.
Okay, so in the 4 years leading up to 2011, they went 26, 32, 31, 28.
In ranking.
So right on the edge of a top 25 class for 08, 09, 10, and 11. So that's if you go by the rank, I mean, that's infinitely better than what they're doing right now. And see, that's where, I mean, they've taken 20 spot dips from what I would consider kind of their golden run from, say, 2007, 8, all the way through, you know, that early time, mm-hmm. You know, until, I mean, you know, through like Mason Rudolph. Oh, did I miss him? Yeah, 36. They're right there from 25 to 35 all the way through the end of the aughts through the beginning of the 2010s. There's a number 27. You know what I'm saying? So I think and I don't think anyone would sit here and say that they don't believe the talent level in Oklahoma State hasn't slipped from that period, right? I think it clearly has. Now, the results are staying this. The results are similar, if not just as good or better. But, man, you don't have, you know, think about the guys that they have in the NFL right now.
Well, I mean, one's going to start for Pittsburgh this week.
So Rudolph is, who comes back from them.
Is Hubbard still?
Jalen Warren.
Running for?
Chuba Hubbard is in the league still.
For Carolina?
I mean, who else?
Detroit linebacker.
Rodriguez. Yeah, now they're making him be a fullback. So that's kind of, I mean, that was a cool story.
Didn't know that.
That was a cool story last year. That one's kind of faded a bit, but it's still in the league. What I'm saying is, you know, you used to be able to, without even hesitation, you would go, oh, Dez Bryant, Justin Blackmon for a little bit. Gilbert was a top 10 pick. Mm-hmm. Those guys aren't there right now. Those guys have fallen away. Outside of maybe Ollie. Outside of Ollie Gordon, who on that team can you sit there and say, okay, he's guaranteed to play in the NFL? Colin Oliver?
Maybe.
Just he's kind of a tweener. Right? Yeah. He's just not sure what his position is. He's a good football player. But see, once you get, all of a sudden, you get past like that 2017, 2016 era, Oklahoma State is consistently 40s. Those high 20s are gone. 40, 42, 43 in 2020, 2021. I mean, we'll just go, I'm right here, so we might as well do it. There's a 30, so that was an uptick. Let's see who was in that class a couple of years ago. Ah, Kendall Daniels. The guys that Colin Oliver. Okay. The best players they've got, right? But once again, if you're Gundy, you go, well, guess what? Look at them. They were 3 stars.
Yeah.
Those guys were all 3 stars. Daniels was a 4. I don't know. It's a weird
phenomenon.
It is. Happening. And it's
but is it walking on thin ice, you know? Is it going to break?
How could it? If it works in the old Big 12, how could it not work in the new one? It's a worse conference.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
As long as you can find a quarterback and some dudes that can block, I think this will continue to work at a certain level. I'm just not sure what that level ends up, right?
Right.
So, it's fascinating the way that this is all working. Actually, the next year was number 21, and guess who's in there? Ollie Gordon. So, I don't know. I don't think it's changing. So, for OSU fans, you just got to hope that the development, the secret to the development that Mike Gundy has found, continues. Mm-hmm. And I suppose there's no reason for it not to. I mean, he's proven that he can do this.
And he's proven he can make adjustments, midseason adjustments, and coach. He didn't just suddenly develop players in the middle of the season this season and make that turnaround. I give him a lot of credit for pulling them out of the mud and getting all the way to the Big 12 championship game. That's coaching. And that was Gundy.
Yeah, and so if you have that coaching, you probably don't need to have the recruiting quite to the level that others do.
Yeah.
I mean, Deion ain't doing that.
No.
So he has to find the best players he could possibly find, not in spite of him, but he's not – he has nowhere near the track record of what Mike Gundy has. I just think it's interesting the way that this is all kind of playing out. 55 this year, as far as the rankings, that wouldn't seem like the recipe for success, but he's done it with classes in the 40s over and over and over. It's just like, man, I wonder how frustrated Oklahoma State fans are when you look up and see like the last two classes, number 48, now number 55.
I think with true Oklahoma State fans, there's a trust. And Gundy, we trust. And they don't care about that. They're used to it by now, right? Have to be.
Yeah.
It's been consistent for as long as we can remember, or I can remember, since Gundy's been there anyways. And I think, hey, it's worked. It's working.
But it does seem like there's some higher-ranked classes mixed in every couple of years that really supplement maybe the depth depth that some of these put in there. I don't know. It's not changing. I do know that. It's not changing.
Not as long as he's the head coach.
Yeah, it just feels like he has a guys or an idea in his mind of what fits the culture, what fits the team, what fits their needs, and he could not care less what those stars say behind their name. Yeah. And he doesn't care what that number says by his school's name either. He'll just go make hay with the players he gets. Yep. Hanging out here on a Thursday, just one last day before Christmas. Tomorrow, Jared.
Our Christmas
for us.
Break, yeah.
I mean, just one more day of shows, and then Christmas will happen by the time we're on the air next. Doesn't seem possible. You know, years just fly by. The older you get.
No, that's for sure.
There's really nothing to look forward to, so just days stack on days and fly by.
I'm really looking forward to January hitting and all the basketball that we're going to be covering, and then boom, playoffs.
Yeah, it'll be here before you know it.
I'm getting kind of nostalgic because this will be the last year in the big house. I'm getting kind of not worried. What's the word I want to use? Like, I want it to get here, but then I don't, because I know on that Saturday when we walk out, that's going to suck. Because we're like, this is it. It's the last time for us to be in this building.
Yeah, I'd like to know where we'll be in the next building, because we're a perfect spot in the one right now.
Yeah, yeah.
Hopefully they remembered us.
Oh, yeah, well. I hope there's no vandalism on that night. People are trying to rip chairs out and take them. But don't they have to play the next week with the larger schools?
That's right.
You can't do that.
Yeah, it may be a free-for-all after the 2A through 4A games that Saturday, but not until then. Well, of course, in OIE, I mean, there's lots of things that still happen.
There are still a lot of things happening in that building, sure.
Oh, did you see this?
What's that?
A little breaking news, college football-wise.
No, what?
Florida State calling an emergency board of trustee meeting for tomorrow to explore ACC exit options.
Yeah, they want out. They want out. You know, that's a chicken egg thing. We haven't really talked about it. We don't have time, but, you know, the whole Florida State situation, would they have been excluded if they were in any other conference?
No.
They'll be in. Even with the quarterback with the bum leg and poor showings in their conference title game. So, yeah. So they're thinking, because of our conference, we're out of this playoff. We need out of this conference. That's what that tells me.
It's what they're thinking.
Yeah.
That is what they're thinking.
But is the grass greener? I mean, clearly they want to be in the SEC. I think they've made that clear even before the season started, right?
Yeah, I don't know if that's right.
Didn't they say?
I think they just don't want to be in the ACC.
They just want clearly. So it is going to the conference like the Big 12 better? And that's another argument or another discussion to have. Is the Big 12, the new Big 12, better than the ACC right now?
I think it's perceived better.
It seems like it has a brighter future.
Well, here's part of it. It has to be perceived better because you know why? There's never been an undefeated champ left out of the playoff in the Big 12, there has the ACC. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But I think that at least for and this may not be true either because but there was other teams that picked up the slack for the Big 12. Oklahoma State being one of those. You saw Baylor at times, TCU at times, when it wasn't Oklahoma and Texas. Like out in the ACC for years, especially in the playoff times. You know, early it was Florida State with Jameis. That fell apart. Jimbo left. Then it was Clemson and who?
Right. Nobody.
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 And then Clemson takes a dip now that Florida State is kind of back. And so they've never really had somebody helping out the perception of the league. It's always been one team. And for the majority of the playoff, that was Clemson. Whereas in the Big 12, Oklahoma was clearly there. But you started with Baylor and TCU in the first playoff year, fighting back and forth, you know, and they ended up both getting left out. But, you know, it wasn't – I think the Big 12 proved more in that time frame with more teams. It wasn't just – Oklahoma was the one making the playoff. But there were also other teams in the running to be that just got beat by Oklahoma. You know, Clemson was beating 7-4 conference title game opponents.
Right.
In a lot of those years. Whereas Oklahoma, you know, lose this, you know, there was times where, well, that other team, ooh, could they make it, you know, from number 8 to number 4 in an Iowa State or a Baylor, you know what I'm saying? There was just, there was chances that beating Oklahoma in the Big 12 title game could lead to playoff appearances in some of those years in that, when that game came back. So, yeah, and the Big 12 never had an undefeated champ left out. That's a huge I mean, that is a slap in the face and takes you down notches that I don't think either one of us really thought were possible. I mean, leading up to that, as much as there was talk about it, I think we both believed that no matter what we couldn't see a world in which an undefeated Power 5 champ was actually left out. And maybe that speaks to the weakness of the ACC, or it speaks to the strength of the SEC, where if it would have been the Big 12 in that position, they'd got left out too. But it's hard for me to believe it because a one-loss Big 12 champ made it, and an undefeated ACC didn't. You know, I mean, that's a pretty big slap in the face, and pretty easy way to bring you down notch up however many notches you think you need to be brung down or brought down. That does it. I mean, that's really unfathomable. So, yeah, not surprising probably that Florida State wants to get out. Now, their grant of rights goes through 2036, so how much money does it take to get out?
Yeah, they're stuck.
You'd think so, unless they can orchestrate, you know, landing spots for everybody. And is this where we talked earlier in the week about the supposed Big 12 ACC merger? Is this a place where, you know, if let's say, you know, FSU and Clemson want to go one place, Virginia, North Carolina want to go another? Are these talks a way to soften the fall for everybody else? You know, is Florida State going to have to kind of be the Pied Piper of this whole thing as far as getting people places to go and not just leave them out to dry in order to dissolve the conference
right. And
get away from those grant of rights? I'm not sure how this is going to how this can even happen. I don't think it's going to be the same way, or it's even possibly the same way as what we saw in the Big 12 and the Pac-12, because of that, the money that's attached to it is so much higher with another 12 years left on that grant of rights versus running out next year.
I wonder if they'd consider independent for a couple years.
Yeah, I
don't know.
I think that's such a harder route now to find a schedule that helps you,
yeah,
because of everyone else being in two big conferences and maybe not wanting any part of you.
Correct. It's because they look at it, go, you know, and I wonder how that's going to affect Notre Dame too. Now they have some games scheduled that are on contracts and stuff, and for years on out. But I wonder, you know, when like the SEC and even the Big Ten expanding the way they are, and they're going to look at Notre Dame going, we really don't need to play you.
Yeah, you have a hard time believing that Michigan wants to play Notre Dame.
Yeah.
Or, you know, Ohio State did. Would they want to now?
Right.
Guess what, Notre Dame? We're losing Rutgers and Northwestern and maybe even like Indiana off our schedule, being replaced with some sort of combination of UCLA, USC, Oregon, and Washington. Yeah, no thanks. We've replaced you and then some with our strength of schedule metrics. So it's
and same thing with SEC. They
oh yeah.
So that probably not a route Florida State wants to go.
Yeah, I wouldn't think so.
Because you know they already play what Florida in non-conference, right? Kind of an annual thing, if I'm not mistaken. They already got that, but finding a strong enough schedule year in and year out as an independent is going to be harder and harder when you have these 16-team conferences that are going to go, listen, we already play a tough enough schedule.
Yeah, that's 16 that's probably headed to 20.
Yeah.
And eventually that's going to eat up Notre Dame.
Yeah.
Into one of these
they're
leagues.
They're going to have to, I think.
I think so, too. As much as they don't want to, maybe. Or maybe they're the one that can do it. Just because they've done it for so long.
Well, they annually play USC and Stanford, right? And
USC, Stanford.
They always find one of those Big Ten, Michigan, Ohio State.
They've been playing Clemson. Of course, they've been in the ACC for like five or six games there.
With the ACC.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, though. Even them, before all this happened, they were needing those five or six guarantees through the ACC scheduling alliance to be able to build the rest of that out. And that was before this. That was when, you know, USC was just, they might have an Arizona or an Oregon State or whoever was bad at the time. Cal.
But there's always, though, with the difference between, say, a Florida State going independent and a Notre Dame being independent is there's always that prestige. Like, everyone goes, it's easy. If you have Notre Dame on your schedule, especially if they're coming to your place, forget it. It's selling out, and the money is going to be raking. And so there's still that prestige with Notre Dame being an independent. And I think it's easier for them to make a schedule. It's like, oh, Notre Dame called. They want to play us. We got a home and home with them. Notre Dame's coming to town. There's not that with Florida State
no.
as much. No,
and even, coming to town. Or, hey, guess what trip we have this year? Notre Dame in September.
South Bend or Tallahassee. Yeah. I'd rather see
touchdown.
I'd
Jesus.
Rather go to South Bend in the fall, honestly, than Tallahassee. I mean, I know Tallahassee's warmer, but South Bend, there's a prestige, and I've always been a sucker for the classic Notre Dame stuff.
No doubt about it. All right, everybody, have a great Thursday. We'll be back tomorrow to wrap up the week right here on the Skinny on Sports.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.
That ball!